Everyone, welcome to TimingResearch.com's Analyze Your Trade, episode number 73 for April 16th, 2019. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days about 40 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I have put the list together of the top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at the new time for the show, 4 p.m. Eastern time. But you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes of both Timing Research shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research. Subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I have Jim Kenny back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay. Thank you, David, and welcome everybody to the show here today. Before we get started, I just thought we'd go around the horn and everyone can give a quick introduction on who they are and what they do. So let's start out with Brian. And Brian, could you just give a little rundown on, introducing yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everyone. My name is Brian Clindworth, and I work for Alpha Shark Trading. I moderate our live unusual options activity trading room. I'm also our developer for Thinkorswim indicators for some of our custom indicators there. Got serious about trading starting about 2012 and have about a year on a live cash options account. And let's see, a little personal info, 39 years old, and I live just outside of Philadelphia on the Jersey side of the river.
Okay. All right, John, a quick intro on what you're doing and a little background.
Hey, are you with John? Yep, I am here. This is John Thomas, the Mad Hedge Fund Trader. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I have been in the game for 50 years. Started trading right around 1968 when I first visited Notre Dame in Paris. We cover stocks, bonds, commodities, precious metals, energy, and real estate. We send out trade alerts, daily research, special reports, and we have average annualized return for the past 10 years of 32% gain on our option strategies. If you want to learn more about us, go to www.madhedgefundtrader.com.
Okay, thanks a lot, John. And Larry, a quick introduction. What do you got?
Okay, thanks for having me here today. Yeah, so I've been in the markets, actually trading, involved in the markets for over 30 years. Started my career back in the 80s trading oil and ran a large international trading group for over 10 years where we traded oil, foreign exchange, you name it, we traded it. So a lot of background experience in the commodity side of things. Started my power cycle trading back around 2010. So we're basically a directional trading site, educational site, but we used price direction and then options for leverage and risk management. So big into, you know, all kinds of different option strategies, et cetera. So appreciate you having me here today.
Okay, great. Guys, we've got a lot of great stocks here to look at, and we're going to start right off, get right into it with basically a proxy for the Chinese stock market, which is Alibaba. And Alibaba has been obviously been having a pretty good time of it along with the Chinese stock market. So let's start out with Brian. And Brian, what are you seeing on Alibaba?
All right, let's talk about Alibaba here real quick. In much better shape than it was a while ago. Got above long-term resistances or long-term moving averages. What really surprised us in this area was there was a lot when there was a rumor that there was going to maybe be a deal within 9 days or an announcement on the deal. Kind of attached to it, there was a ton of unusual option flow on buying protection on Chinese ETFs. So I think that the unusual option flow really got me worried, like to the degree to how much they were hedging. We were talking like $10 million orders. So that has me a little bit concerned there. We're watching for more of that unusual option activity kind of related to Baba. It was EEM and one other lesser known Chinese ETF that they went after. Otherwise, the chart is as bullish until otherwise.
Okay. Sounds good. And when you're given your view, it might be helpful if, buy, sell, or hold. Get a little bit of an opinion on where you're at as far as positioning on it, if you were theoretically putting something on.
I personally stay away from China stuff right now because of, it is headline risk, but okay. the chart is bullish, and it would be a buy if I was going just based on the chart. We could go here to the daily. We caught some nice support on the 8-day, and as long as it holds there, I would definitely consider it a buy if it were in a different sector.
Okay. Hey, John, what are you seeing? Alibaba, John.
Hey, John, can you hear us?
No. I'm waiting for somebody to do something.
Okay. Yeah. Can you fix that out and we'll go over to Larry and Larry can give us a review on Alibaba while you fix the John situation?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Be happy to. So yeah, but the charts look real good for Alibaba here. Again, you know, just as was mentioned earlier, you know, it'll be one of the headline risks for whatever happens with China. But just based on the charts, if you didn't look at the name or anything, it's a really good looking pattern. You know, it's holding here and it looks like potentially if I was going to do anything, it would be on the buy side for Alibaba. The weekly looks positive, but you know, again, it'll be that headline risk of it. But other than that, the chart looks good.
You know, another thing that we could bring out is where you think support, resistance, and possible targets would be?
Well, support right here is around 182. And then my targets would be good support right here about 182, then 180. Big, huge support down here at 171.5. My targets would be right here, this next spike high, about 198 would be a big target, and then back up to the prior highs without putting in Fibonacci levels. But if I put those in, probably somewhere right in here, about 195 to 198. Then 200.
Okay. John, you all set now? Okay. While we figure that one out, I'm going to go to the next stock. And earnings, by the way, for people on BABA are on May 3rd. So if people are watching earnings dates, May 3rd for that. John, can you hear us?
Cost.
Okay. We're going to go to the next one. And the next stock on the list is Costco. And Brian, what are you seeing?
Oh, this is an easy one to work with. They don't get much easier than this, actually. Hold on. Let me maximize our daily. You can throw down a resistance level right here that it's testing. So things are bogging down. Price action is confirming that as we test this previous high. So we would want to watch this price action in this area and watch it just try to churn its way through it. This would be probably a hold for me. Not necessarily want to get involved in this yet. Would love to see a volume spike to really get this Sumomo through that resistance from that previous swing high. So Costco would be a hold for me. And then once it pops it and we see a retest, then I would go to a buy on it.
Yeah. Some of these stocks obviously have had a good sizable run. So some of them are looking a little bit extended, which, you know, obviously people are factoring in. Larry, how are you seeing Costco at this point?
Pretty much the same. Very beautiful, fantastic run. What can you say? But it's back up to the prior highs, very extended off all the moving averages. This is the weekly chart. I would not be buying it here. I would wait, let it see it break above that prior high, consolidate, hold, and then look to get in. So right here, do nothing. It's too extended.
Do you you do things with options, Larry?
Yeah, everything would be with options.
Is it possible if you own the stock, a strategy like covered call writing or a married
collar? If you own the stock, I would definitely be selling calls against it, covered calls. If you were going to look to buy it, I'd want to buy it with a really defined risk type of call debit spread or call condo or something like that.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Next stock on the list here is CVS. They're having their earnings announcement on May 1. Brian, how do you see CVS at this point?
Oh, CVS. I've had my eyes on this for a while, just waiting for a bottom to come in and get a great potential position play on it. It was as high as 114 over the last, within the last year and a half. Currently trading at 53.9. This thing cannot get a break. What I want to bring up about CVS, there is an absolutely monstrous straddle on this thing. Somebody did a 40,000, I saw it come across the scanner. It was one trader, 40,000 contract straddle. So that really, right here it is. It's in your open interest over here. This is your call side. Here's your put side. It came in together at the exact same time. I've never seen a straddle this big. It doesn't make much sense to me. One nice thing I'm seeing, it does look like we're trying to find a bottom here. This double bottom that we're potentially putting in. This thing is on my radar. Give me a couple more bullish days on it and some good directional call flow from some institutions and I would long it. But again, I need to see some more evidence. That straddle is really bizarre to me.
Yeah, I saw a guy on the Fast Money on CNBC the other day who was still recommending the sector of healthcare, which obviously has been hit pretty hard. So CVS has been hit very hard. So maybe the healthcare sector, if it does turn, CVS might be one of the participants. Larry, how are you seeing CVS set up technically and what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I definitely wouldn't be going short it down here. So it's looking like it's trying to put in a bottom. It's got earnings coming up. So if it can, you know, get through earnings, or it looks like the 1st of May. So it's probably not going to do anything until earnings are out of the way. But once that happens, the thing I like about about it is it is already been hit so hard that you could, you know, just from a risk reward standpoint, you could buy it with a tight stop below the prior lows. And for an option strategy, I think I'd like to look start looking at doing a call a calendar diagonal on this, you know, to see if it churns sideways and then gets going to the upside. I think that would be a perfect strategy, call a calendar diagonal.
Yeah, that sounds interesting because, you know, when it gapped down from 70 to 53, the volume was through the roof. And sometimes when the volume goes through the roof, you know, that exhausts a lot of the selling. So you might have a very good point of trying to get something that would benefit from a sideways to higher move.
Low vol market, you know, it's perfect environment for, you know, kind of a calendar.
Exactly. All right. Good stuff. Let's go to the next one, which is Autodesk, ADSK, Autodesk. Brian, what do you got cooking there? What do you got cooking, Brian?
Autodesk. So next earnings are on 5/23. That's the first thing that we're looking for. Pretty boring name here. This is not one of the names that I like to trade. I have a cash account, so I'm a directional options trader. And the limiting factor here is I've got, you know, a $170 underlying, but a 2.8 ATR. And so if we're looking for day trades or quick swing trades, this isn't a good candidate just because of those dimensions for my strategy. So I generally pass on this name due to that fact. I want a bigger ATR for a higher underlying like this. I don't see any issues with it. I don't know enough about it though, because I skip over it. The levels to watch would obviously be this big candle here with this absolute nightmare whipsaw that came in on, what was the date on that, 228. I would watch that for support. It looks like that it worked to get through there. And so this is a kind of a breakout and a retest setup if you had to make me name something on it.
Yeah, it definitely has had a big run. As many of the stocks that we're looking at today, because obviously we've gone up 25% off the lows or something like that since December. So a lot of the companies that are being mentioned here obviously have already had some significant runs. And I guess people are trying to figure out if they got more to come, or should I hedge up here, or should I bail out of some of my position, or what decisions should be made? Because again, they've had very large runs since December, some of these. Larry, we're back on Autodesk and getting your view.
Just a quick. John, can you hear me talking? John, can you hear me? Okay.
Continue.
All right, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Larry, what do you got?
Yep. Sorry. Yeah, Autodesk is one that we have had pretty good trading success with. This is one we picked up, about a month ago, right here where it broke out right here, and have had some good trades on it. But right now, it's just way too extended. I mean, if you look at the weekly, I like to kind of look at the relative points of the market based on moving averages and extensions, and so it's hit all of our kind of fib levels here. It's really extended, so I would not be doing anything here. I'd wait to see if it pulls back, and then look at it a little bit later on in time. But right now it's had a beautiful run up, and I think it needs to catch its breath and kind of have a pullback here to back and fill. So I would not be doing anything on a long side on Autodesk.
And with the VIX underneath 12 at some point today, and the S&P obviously going up near its high point, would this also be a candidate for hedging?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So if you've got this on stock, you know, if you're long the stock, if you're long calls, I would definitely sell some calls against it.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. Good stuff. The next one here is a company that's, obviously been on a big run back and forth, a volatile stock. It's Square. And right now it's at around 73.50 or so. What are we seeing, Brian, on Square? How do you feel about it?
Square has for a while, not recently, but for a while, been a mainstay of our trading room. This thing was scalp heaven for a while. If you were looking for a trade, you could almost always find a scalp set up. Price action, dead sideways, moving averages are tightening up here. Probably everybody's got their finger off of the trigger on anything major with this name until they report earnings. This space is starting to get kind of crowded too. I think that Facebook doing direct payment processing through Instagram, for example, is going to end up hurting Square, and I laud Facebook on that move. It was a brilliant business decision on their part to capture that revenue. So I think Square is a little wounded here. I'm going to leave this one alone until we see more about earnings. And I mean, just with this price action. Yep.
That's not that far off. May 1st is earnings, so we're right there.
Yeah. This one's hurting a little bit. I think that Instagram stuff is dinging them.
What about the Apple, new features they're working on? Aren't they trying to get a processing system going where you can do everything off your phone and you don't need anything else?
Right. Well, we have Apple Pay now, of course, but what they want is, and I haven't read the details too much on it, but the gist of it is basically it's like Apple Credit, okay. But it's not a traditional credit card. I think that the model is more closer to like an Amex card. So if you put something on there, you have to pay it off like nearly immediately. Right. So I think they're still developing that product. And again, more crowding into this space. It's getting crowded here. Somebody eventually is going to have to go.
All right. Well, Larry, what's your take on Square? Because obviously it's a very popular stock and it's very volatile. So what are you seeing?
Well, this is one we were looking for it to break to the upside, but it failed. And you can see here, this kind of a pennant formation here and this kind of blue line here, this solid blue line, that's a 200 period moving average or 200 day moving average. So, this is wounded. And if it starts breaking and separating on a closing basis below this 200 day moving average in this kind of wedge here, so let's call it 71 or so, you could see actually a bigger pullback. And it does have earnings coming up, so it's going to probably do nothing until earnings. So, but this one is in a kind of a danger zone. You've got, sitting right here on the weekly, this kind of a trend line. It's got here right on the key moving average, the 21 and the 50 below it. So if it breaks this level here where my pointer is, let's call it 70, 71 and a half, 70. This is also the prior month's low. So the prior month's low is coming in at 71.08. So if it breaks there, this thing has a lot of what I kind of call open prairie. So it'll be really keyed off of what's going to happen in earnings. If earnings are bad, if there's a bad forward-looking forecast, whatever, this thing could have a nice little move to the downside. If it looks good on the earnings, then it'll probably break this wedge and push to the upside. So it's you see how it's just getting tighter and tighter and tighter and wound. So just going to have to wait till earnings.
If the option premiums are not too bad, it might be something to look at a strangle on?
Going into earnings, maybe.
If we got a six handle on this, could you see a five handle on it?
I would see it going down here to this kind of gap area, maybe down to 65, something like that. I don't know. You want to see it break here. Here's the next major support right here. You can kind of see the price action coming in there. Right. So we're caught 69 and a half. I could easily see it there.
Yeah, I think this earnings could be a very important thing. It's coming up on the first, and a market like this that had a big move up from 50 to 75 and then has gone sideways is probably waiting for news, and the news may come out on May 1st. And if it comes out one way or the other, volatility could increase if it's earth shattering,
That's right. Yeah. Strangle maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, that looks pretty good. And again, I would say, the analysis on that is spot on, that this thing is probably going to have a significant move up or down here after earnings. Okay. Let's take a look at Xilinx, XLNX, which announces on April 24th. A lot of them are coming out on April 24th. That's going to be a big day. But what do we see on XLNX, Brian?
I'm checking out the option chain right now. In fact, this is not the most liquid chain in the world. So that's always, the first thing that I go looking for. Not really getting much in terms of market sentiment on it. If you want to talk about it extended, though, here we go. I mean, this might be justified, but these are the types of charts where if I see this, it goes on my watch list. I'm a little more bearish than some. This goes on my watch list. And as soon as I start to see weakness on it, take a look at these moving averages. They tell you everything. Look at how much space there is between, right now I'm running the 350, the 200, the 50, and the 8. And this kind of space right here between these moving averages kind of gets me excited for the idea of a short. This thing is so extended. Even a meet on earnings, and I think people are gonna leave it. It's way too extended for me to even consider going long here.
Yeah, the entire sector on the semiconductors, SMH, have really, really, really run. So obviously, if you're in on it, you're enjoying a great ride. But to start initiating a position up here, that would be something you'd have to think twice about, maybe. Huh?
Yep. If you were lucky enough to get into it before this run, even if you caught, even this part of it, this absolutely would be profit-taking territory for me, for sure. I'd pull it.
the short interest in it is enormous on the sector itself. So it might have a factor on SMH. I'm seeing short interest that looks very, very huge. But anyway, getting back to the technicals and where we think this thing might be going, Larry, how do you see it, man?
Yeah, totally overextended. Totally agree with Brian. I mean, this is a weekly chart. You can just kind of see it's nosebleed territory. You can see that my moving averages, weekly moving averages stacked below it, just very, very extended. Would not be touching it up here. Not to say, I guess it couldn't keep going. But if you have any of this on, I would be taking profits and looking for a reset at a lower level. Do nothing.
And maybe investigate what the calls are going for if you're an owner, to try to maybe do a little hedging or something.
Oh, absolutely. If you're just outright long shares or, you know, long calls or whatever, I would definitely be hedging. I wouldn't want to be just sitting here just long, you know, the underlying security.
Yeah. And the 200-day average, as you were saying, is down in the 90 area, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, the 200-week is way down here. This is a weekly, so you've got the 21 right here, the one at 113. If you look at the daily, it's just crazy extended.
Yeah. So, I haven't priced out the calls on them, but the calls should be pretty darn fat with that kind of a move, huh?
Probably so, yeah. Here, 200 is down here at 90.
All right. So basically, that's the story on Xilinx. A very powerful stock, very uptrending stock, but a bit extended and a bit far away from its moving averages. Okay, let's turn to the next one here, which announced on, it announced today, IBM. What's cooking with IBM, Brian?
So IBM, it sort of is a safer, like in a better neighborhood than some other, you know, like FANG type stuff. This is a lower volatility name again, 145 underlying, 1.2 is your ATR on that, 5-day moving average ATR. What they report now, didn't they?
Now it's out and it looks like it's down. It's trading down at post market. You know, dipped down to 139. Now it's about 142.
Yeah. All right. Estimate was 227. One actual was 225. We'll have to see what revenue says. So right now we're on a pause because we're waiting on the earnings call. That's at 5. And so right now we really don't know. Right? We got to see what their guidance is going to be. But in general, the name is, if you want a safer tech name, it finally cracked these longer term moving averages. Kind of in my mind, it sits kind of like next to Microsoft. It's just nice and boring in the tech space. It's not like Netflix or some of these other wild rides. For an option trader of my strategy, again, it's just not the best name to do directional. And I want to, you know, for newer traders that are, you know, getting used to directional trading, it's not one of the best symbols for that, because you're not going to get the moves that are going to give you the risk reward you need for those quick, you know, 3-day swing trades that are, you know, for newer traders.
Okay. Hey, Larry, I was looking at something here, looking back a couple of years on the stock, and there seemed to be a bunch of lows at 140 area in 2017 and 2018. And now, of course, in 2019, we've come from 110 area up to that neighborhood. Do you see anything that would indicate that it might have a trouble getting through here? And if it pulls back, where do you think it might stop?
Let's take a look at the kind of longer term chart. The earnings came out. Yeah, we don't know exactly what they're saying yet, but they just came out and it's down a little bit in the post market. But you can see, if this is a weekly chart here, so there's a huge amount of kind of a cluster major ceiling right up here at, call it 150, right here, 148, 150. You can just see huge amount of resistance. So the potential for upside is not that much right now. You can see, you know, if it does get pushing, it's going to be struggling really hard when it gets up here to the 140. 48 level, you know, just like massive ceiling of resistance there. So would do nothing probably if it moves up. I mean, this could be one, if there's any premium, maybe to, it moves up a little bit more, to sell, you know, an iron condor or something like that. So see how far it dips back. If it holds, here's pretty good support right here at the 140 level. So if it can hold that support at 140, maybe you could sell bull put credit spread, and then it's up here, maybe selling a, you know, iron credits, call credit spread, maybe do an iron condor possibly if there's any premium. But right now it would not, you know, until after earnings, would not do anything.
Yeah, one thing they better not announce on the announcement is that they're cutting their dividend, because one of the reasons people hold on to this thing is they have this dividend. And as you saw with GE, once they gave away the dividend, that was pretty much a death knell for them for a while. All right, well, that's about it on IBM. And now there's a new issue that came out that everybody's interested in, and a lot of people have worn at some point in their life, and that is Levi. So Levi Strauss came out. What do you guys guys seeing, Brian, on how it's been trading? And is it worthwhile at this point?
I like Levi. I like their valuation. I think it, right now, because it's an IPO, right? I mean, we kind of have to work off fundamentals. We don't have a lot of technical data here yet. Market cap, let's see, Levi's stock real quick. Let me see what their market cap is. Market cap at 9.3 billion for this brand on a PE ratio of 20. I feel that's low. I think that on a fundamental basis, I feel like this name is worth more. Option chain is starting to fill out. IV on your options is not terrible if you want to take some directional trades. There's some unusual call buying down here on the May 25s. That might be a little bit hopeful there. I am bullish on this name. I believe this company is fundamentally worth more than what they're trading at the moment. And now that the option chain is filled out, you've actually got some stuff to work with here. So this is going to go on my list, and I may actually tomorrow throw out some calls here. I'm glad somebody suggested this one. I kept peeking back at it. And the other thing too, remember, newer traders out there, usually the first on a new name, usually your first two earnings reports are kind of freebies. Like the market's not gonna just, you know, crush a name on a you know, the first couple of earnings reports. You get a little bit of slack, so that's something that can be taken advantage of as well. But it looks like they had no issues with this last one. I'm liking this name a lot. I could see it just on a fundamental up in the 27 area. I think that's maybe a little bit better valuation.
I was listening to a valuation guru type guy who they had on TV. And when Lyft was up at 70 and 80, he was saying Lyft's valuation should be more like 58, 59. I noticed Lyft is at 56 today. So that was pretty clear. And his valuation expectation on Levi was 29. So trading at 23, if he's halfway accurate like he was on Lyft, 29 wouldn't be a bad price to go for. And there's still enough juice between 23 and 29 to make it worthwhile. So that was the valuation talk I heard on TV from somebody who specializes in trying to evaluate these companies. Okay, but anyway, there's obviously many views on this stock. Let's hear what Larry's got to feel on as far as Levi.
Okay, yeah, well, there's not a lot of price action, obviously, since it is a new issue, but a couple of things that stand out is, first off, if you do start drilling down to some kind of the option chain activity, so you just look at the May chain, you can see that there's pretty good support open interest there at the 21 strike on the put side, and then on the 25 on the call side. So those are going to be target zones. So, you know, you could see it definitely good support at 21, potentially push target up to 25. Then you can see that the target up to 25 aligns with Fibonacci level at 1272. So let's say this has a good chance to get to 25.
And that's still a little bit higher. But, you know, like I say, it is a big name. And I think they're really looking for China to come on board and be a big customer for this, as you know, a lot of the American fashions are popular over there. I think isn't that supposed to be a big market for Levi, China?
The demand is definitely there. Just anecdotally, when I had a retail job, a woman who spoke no English but was visiting from France came up to me on the street and asked where she could get Levi's. Yeah. Like, she wanted that. And I believe that, in fact, Levi's is being mentioned specifically in some of this signaling stuff that we're dealing with the headlines in China. I think Levi's is one of the things that's going to be a line item on that trade deal.
Yeah, a lot of new issues come out, and, you know, it's a snap. So you got some technology, hard to figure out how to evaluate it. Lyft, obviously, you know, a little bit losing money quite a bit and trying to hard to evaluate it. At least with the Levi's, you know, you do have a iconic brand, and, you know, sometimes iconic brands can fly. We'll have to see if that's the case. All right, let's switch over here now. And everybody wants to know what the financials are going to do, because all the banks are starting to announce, and we're getting two-sided action. And we're also getting a situation where their free credit balance interest is not what they thought, because that is a profit center for banks. So let's look at the ETF XLF and get a little slant on what the ETF looks like. Brian, how do you feel about the XLF?
Massive, massive, massive option flow here. This thing has been lighting up consistently. The Nigerian brothers have pushed this thing several times. I'm looking through the chain right now. People have calls on this out in May and up in the upper 100,000s here. June, 175K at the money. Just massive, massive flow into this name. And it was dry as a desert for a long time on XLF in terms of what we pick up for unusual option activity. until I personally think, remember, we have 10,000 different symbols to choose from here in Thinkorswim. There's always better opportunities here. I'm not a big fan of doing ETFs in general, unless there's some extenuating reason to. But on the technicals here, you want to talk about a support level. Take a look at what's going on with these moving averages. You have your 200 stacked on your 350. You have your 50 coming up to join it. So you do, on a risk reward basis, this looks pretty good. It's an easy trade to set up. You can pick these longer term moving averages for your stop on it. I think that it's going to be maybe one of those situations where, since banks have underperformed other sectors, we might get an overshoot on this, even if there are not necessarily the best news, and more of a, hey, it's not as bad as we thought kind of reaction from the market. So we could get a little bit of an overshoot here. I'd put resistance at 20 up into the, starting to look like it's going to want to bug down around 29, and then 30 seems to be the upper limit, but it could go quick just because
it does look like it's trying to turn. And if you look at Citigroup, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan, and all the major banks, they did have a pretty good bid here today. So we'll have to see if there's follow through. And also, there's an asset allocation feature, right, where certain asset allocation models have to be in financials or want to be in financials, and maybe they do a little reweighting of things, maybe lighten up on healthcare and maybe increase on the financials where the action is. But on a technical basis on XLF, Larry's the one to talk to. Larry, what are you seeing on XLF?
It looks, technically it looks real good here. I like to look at the longer term weekly and then break it down from there. But when you look at XLF, you can see here that it's pushed back above these key, 50 moving average, 50 simple right here. And we're back, if you look at this prior high, we're back pushing towards that prior high. So it looks, technically it looks good. It's over the, major cluster of moving averages, and it's survived that down move. The banks had some, JP Morgan was outstanding. So, it looks good. It's been one that's been hard to trade because it really hasn't done much. I mean, it had that nice pullback, but if it can get through this 2740 level right here, where that prior high was, then it's going to look pretty good for a push back up towards 29. I mean, these aren't, it's an ETF, so it's not going to be a huge barn burner winner, but this is one to watch and see if it can. You need to get it above this resistance right here, which it looks like it wants to get to, and then once it consolidates a little bit there, be looking for a push to 29.
Is that looking a little bit like a head and shoulders bottom, or what do you think?
You could see shoulder here, head, shoulder. Yeah, it does, absolutely. And you're breaking the neckline right here, so definitely, yeah. And also cup and handle, so you can see that, see the cup handle. Yep. So it's good. Technical patterns are all good.
Yeah, good eye there on that. Very good eye. That shoulder, this second shoulder is right nearly here. Perfect. Nearly perfect.
So you got a cup, a shoulder, head, shoulder, and then cup handle. So nice pattern.
It's a major sector too, and these balanced funds and all that, that are exposed to different sectors. Like I was saying, a rotation out of some of the extended ones and into some of this might not be off the table, and that might give you the juice to get up towards that 30 area.
Might be a good calendar diagonal maybe. So if it just kind of churns here, that'd be a way to trade it. I might look at that actually as a strategy tomorrow.
Yeah, it might make some sense. All right, we just announced UNH, United Healthcare, and that healthcare sector has definitely been on the outs lately. But in the aftermarket, I think the stock is fairly stable. What are you guys seeing on UNH?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It's holding 220.94 at the moment. Generally speaking, right now, healthcare is headline risk, all of it, right? It's the election season is unfortunately beginning. It gets longer and longer, and this is an issue. And the stock action ever since we started discussing major changes in this area, UNH has really borne that out, because this is the period in time where that discussion got started. They just got absolutely punished. This is, to me, what I see here is this is a short the rally until otherwise indicated. I would love to see some big directional put orders come in on this, and I would not be surprised if we're going to see some of that. I haven't seen any of it yet. Usually the institutions are a little bit ahead. I'm looking right now. What did they do today? Yeah, somebody grabbed some 210s here. 5,000 lot of those. I think that that 210 is pretty realistic. This is a short the rally until it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I'm looking today, if my screen's accurate, the average volume on a 50-day basis on this stock is 4.6 million shares. And today it looks like it did 27 million shares. So it could be the poster boy of sell the rumor, huh?
Yeah, I like this as it just each rally. And I use basically this setup here is something I developed. It's recursive Weiss waves. That's what generates my signals. And I absolutely, every time I see one of these off a good little rally, I'm willing to throw some puts out there until it doesn't work. It is out in space, folks.
Yeah. That volume, though, is a little scary because it looked like a lot of people got out here before the report, which might also explain why if the report wasn't very good, you're not getting any further downside because everybody did it before the report, you know?
That is true. That is a risk on this. Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, I don't know if anybody can confirm it. I see 27 million shares, which is six times normal. And that is, in my experience, very large. Larry, you know, this is a stock that a lot of people own or are interested in because look, between 2017 and 18, it had a huge ride way up to almost $300. And now it's done an about face. What are you seeing on it, Larry, that people could take value from?
Yeah, definitely agree again with Brian. This is a great one to short the rally. So what I'd be looking for is right here. You can see, first off, if you look here at the daily time frame, you see this major cluster moving average. This is like, you know, every moving average there is right here. So it's broken below that. It tried one time back here in March to get back and retest those. That ceiling got crushed, hit hard, came down, retraced back up, but it's just rolled over and it broke this key area here, this 234. And you can see this next spike low right here, which it broke. So markets love to go down and recheck out any spike low. So right back here, 232. So if you look at the weekly, if this thing rallies, this is a good short to rate setup, you know, right back into here. So if it gets back up towards that 231, 232 and fails, right here, this is a place that you want to get short. It'd be a really good high probability short, retracement short.
Okay, that's it. All right, we got another one coming up here that's very popular. Earnings are not coming out till June the 4th, though. And this is Salesforce CRM. And this is a very, very popular stock. What are you seeing, Brian, on Salesforce?
Kind of similar to what we saw earlier today on which name was it that's going sideways for the moment? Waiting on earnings. It's bogged down here. And you can see, let me zoom in on this. This looks like a reasonably healthy consolidation. It's just not getting the movement that I want for my style of trading, a directional trader. See, you know, back here, it had a 5 ATR on a 150 and change underlying. That gives the right dimensions for directional option trades to work on day trade setups or quick swings. And it's compressed now. It's down to 2.6. This looks like a reasonably healthy consolidation. So this one, we want to see where it goes from here. And I certainly hope the market's not going to make us wait. I'm getting an earnings alert on 5/28 here on TOS.
Oh, okay.
Now, that doesn't mean TOS is always right. They may have moved it, though. TOS is often wrong. Looks like a reasonably healthy consolidation here. And it's not getting the movement for me to trade it or be attracted to it. And I just want to watch this one to see what happens. And again, we're getting a little crowded in the space.
Larry, what are you seeing on Salesforce? Anything sticking out to you?
Yeah, again, I agree because you can see that it's had its move up here and then it's just been pulling back and it's just, you know, kind of consolidating very, very tight ranges, which is good. So you just let this one, you just pause it, you know, and let it just consolidate more. And I've got a certain thing I like to look at for breakouts. But when that does come about, this could be a nice breakout. But you can kind of see a wedge starting to form here if you just kind of put a trend line there and a trend line here. So if we just put that in real quick, you'll see this is a nice wedge starting to form. So just kind of connect the dots here. And let me see if I can connect that dot. Whoops, there we go. So we've got a nice wedge consolidation phase here. So we'll see, does it break down? It's got great support right here. That would be the big support area if it breaks this back to 150 and it breaks up here. It's going to, you know, obviously go to the 166 and then above that would be next target would be up here 170. So just watch it, be patient. I think it's got earnings coming up. I'm not sure here. You said, yeah, end of May. So it could just kind of churn here. What typically a lot of times what you'll see happen though is you'll see it run into earnings. So maybe a week, 2 weeks before earnings, we could get a breakout. I would, you know, if I looked at it here, I'd say the breakout's going to probably be to the upside, depending on how what the broad markets do. But you can see the momentum is still positive, and we just kind of consolidate churn. We've got earnings in about a month. You get about a week, 2 weeks out. Wouldn't be surprised if the markets are not down, you know, from a sell-off, but this would be breaking to the upside.
Okay. Yeah, these some of these companies with the high P ratios, you know, they can't afford to announce anything that's not too rosy, because obviously their valuations are discounting that the news is going to be good, right? So if you get a high valuation company and they announce something sobering, they're vulnerable to a pullback. But this company has been obviously spitting out some very good earnings and sales growth and top line growth. So that's why it's been matriculating to the upside. All right. We're back on the financials. We looked at the ETF on financials. I mentioned Citigroup had a big day today. And now we're over to what they call best of breed. I hear that called a lot. Best of breed. JP Morgan, what are you seeing, Brian?
You made me look real quick. Salesforce's P ratio is 110, by the way. But this is one of those names, like you said, this doesn't scare me that much, that kind of a P ratio. No. All right, let's look at JP Morgan. Again, it feels weird to be talking about financials, folks. This feels really bizarre. I cannot emphasize enough how much of a wasteland financials have been. Nobody wanted them. The scanner, we would see the usual hedge fund chicanery with Bank of America because they're always moving stuff in and out there. But that was it. No other financial names. Then we saw all that call flow come into XLF, and we have a gap here that's a little concerning to me. I feel like maybe we're a little euphoric on JP Morgan at the moment. I would want to see a gap fill. And this is a nice technical setup for that gap fill, because that's going to land you right on your 200 or close to it. And so this is maybe one, let it pull back. If it wants to try to fill this gap, it may not, it may go. It looks like they made a move for it here on the 15 minute. You can see it, and it held almost dead at the bottom of that island. So this is what concerns me. When we have islands like this, I get worried until I see evidence that it's either going to stay, that this is the new valuation for the company, or until I see a gap fill. I don't want to get long it here and then just have a technical gap fill come in, especially when, you know, that could give an opportunity to grab it right on a long-term moving average is great support. So we need more data here. This island is too short. This 3 day long island up here, it's just not enough information yet for me. So this one is I'll leave it alone. Check back in a week, see what we got.
Gotcha. Okay, Larry, JP Morgan, what's your indicator showing?
Stole my thunder there too. So you can see again, this gap here, you've got the 200-day moving average. You had a nice pop to the upside, and you've got this, it's sitting back above the 618. So technically it looks good if you didn't have this kind of down area here. So I just give it a little bit of time, see if it backs and fills a little bit more to build some more support. But it looks good longer term based on where it is now for another continuation to the upside. So you look at the weekly time frame, key break of that 618 retracement level here from that prior high to low in September. So hold in here. You've got this also as a monthly high. So really good support potentially right there at 108 down to 105 or that gap area. So I'd be watching this for any kind of pullback consolidation for a push back to the upside.
So actually, I'd like to add a little bit here. I threw up some real simple TA, kind of TA 101 stuff. The rule of thumb is a trend isn't really confirmed until it's been tested 3 times. So one way to deal with this island might be is watch for a retest, a third or a fourth retest here. And if it just will not give it up, then your probabilities are this is the new valuation of the company. So you can apply that trend line rule to a support level as well.
Do you guys think that if the S&P itself can't really get through 2940 and the VIX starts going from 11 back towards 14 or 15, that that could set up something of a pullback for the banks?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm sure everybody is still kind of, you know, has some trepidation with this. The other canary in the coal mine you can check if you're wanting to get involved with financials, don't forget your HYG and JNK ETFs. And this will usually, you can sometimes use this to, this might lead the banks a little bit and give you a little bit of a heads up that things are starting to go bad again.
Well, we got one more financial here. American Express, that is going to be announcing on Thursday, I believe, the 18th. And so there should be some things going on there. Brian, how do you feel about American Express, AXP?
Right now, we're not in a good spot to make a play on this ahead of earnings. We're just a little too close. So any run-up we were going to get is going to have a headwind due to higher IVs now. I'm taking a look right now. Yep, April's are at 50%, depending on which platform you use. If you use TradeStation, it gives real different IV numbers. So we don't have, we're a little late to this one. And because the earnings are so close, I would just leave it alone and see what it does post-earnings. We're too close into that earnings window. Unless you want to play the actual earnings. And one trick you can do is look for maybe unusual option activity, biasing one way or the other. And then, of course, choose your options judiciously in case it doesn't go your way. This isn't one that I would really want to play the earnings on. Again, it's just, it's not going to give you, you know, a $5 move off of earnings, I don't think.
Well, Larry, do you show any support and resistance? In other words, some support on a pullback and some kind of a target on the upside, say earnings do go pretty well. It's in the consumer finance sector. And, you know, supposedly everybody's got a job and the spending is supposed to be pretty good. But how do you feel about this American Express?
Yeah, I mean, the chart looks good. If you didn't have earnings coming up, it looks fine. So as far as support resistance, I mean, you've got good support down here. You can see these lows right here, 108. Then you can see additional price action right down here, 106. So it's got really good support to the downside through this zone here and this zone here. And for the upside, obviously, right there is the first target right there, 114 in that prior high, 114.55. And then after that, you just have to start looking at some extensions. So we could look in here, put some in there, and targets to the upside would be, right here, the prior high, 114, then 115 or 16, and then on and on. But good support, you know, zones down below. So really good support right in here, 108 down to 106.
Yeah, this must have been a little nerve-wracking for people in the month of December last year. It had its all-time high at 114 and its 52-week low on December 26th at about 90. So yeah. If volatility doesn't bother you, then this is obviously something for you, because that's a lot of volatility for a stock like this in just a very short period of time. Huh?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get a couple more in here before we sign off. We got Disney, and they came out with that big announcement on their new Disney Plus, and it seemed like people have liked it, but today they didn't like it so much. It was off a couple bucks. But how are we thinking, Brian, as far as Disney is concerned right now?
We need to let this one calm down a little bit. Disney they released a statement, more or less unofficially, that they are willing to lose billions on their Disney Plus to take market share from Netflix. I think that might have been, which, I mean, that's a viable strategy if you need to get a foothold. I mean, Netflix is still losing billions, aren't they? Why not Disney doing it too? This one, we just absolutely have to let this calm down. This is such a massive, massive move. IVs are probably still going to be kind of screwy. Actually, no, they're coming down. So watch for your option IV to calm down on this. And again, we're on an island, another new island. So we have to see if this is going to hold. If this thing comes anywhere near here, if this thing comes anywhere near 124, I am getting the puts out for sure. And in fact, I may throw one small contract out here. I think it needs to come back down for a little bit. So I would actually be more willing to short this into the, I do believe that Disney Plus increases the value of the company. Absolutely. But not to this degree. It came up off of 114 to a high of what? 134. Yeah, this needs some time. I'm liking, what was the volume on that day on that announcement, by the way?
Well, I was going to say, that's the key. The volume was so huge off the charts on that announcement that you'd have to assume that many of the people who wanted in have done it.
Yep.
And even today, today is just about normal, 14 million, but the volume lately has been pretty big. Anyway, you're seeing it as a bit extended up here off of everything, and that May 8th, I think, is when they announced their earnings. And so we'd have to see if it either stays or get off the bicycle when they come out with their numbers and how they explain their numbers after that. But let's turn to Larry. And Larry, anything you're seeing out there to add?
Basically just the same. You've got this huge, big gap up here. You want to see how it holds that low of the gap. You know, so if it comes down here and doesn't hit, make a new low and test a few times, then this could be the new level for Disney. It had a huge, you know, over two stand. I don't know how, I'd have to go back and look at it, but a huge move. And it's hit all of its targets to the upside, basically. You hit the 1272, the 1618. So it's hit its targets here. So would definitely not be buying it here and just let it pull back and settle, see if it holds this kind of gap area and then take it from there. And again, like you said, you've got earnings coming up. So I think you'll have probably some profit taken, et cetera, and you'll probably get a little pullback as we head towards earnings. So I wouldn't, you know, it's not one, there's plenty of other things out there to do. So would not be doing anything on this one right now.
All right, let's get the last one in here. And it's on Advanced Micro Devices. The chart is kind of indicating a very much of a stair-stepping to the upside since it hit 15. And obviously, it's involved in a lot of the new technologies, and people think that they're going to be able to definitely take advantage of that. But how are you seeing it, Brian, as far as technically and anything else you want to add on AMD?
So this one's a day trader's heaven. Scalpy scalps are wonderful on this name. If you find an indicator set or a strategy that works for you, this one has lots of opportunities, but it looks like it's starting to sort of mature. This daily chart is really fascinating from a fundamental price discovery point. So we run it up to 32, bring it back down to 16. And now we're getting, like you mentioned, you call it a stair step. We're getting this healthier, more sustainable with more price discovery move back to the upside to try and value this company. This is one that's kind of dangerous to swing trade, though. It is a difficult one to swing trade, but I think it's as it's maturing here in these new areas, because this thing was, you know, ever since the dot-com crash, it was always sub 15. It is maturing, and I think that this move up in price is warranted. I think that there's the rumor is pretty strong that Intel has some very, very serious production problems that AMD did not run into in terms of getting onto those smaller die CPUs and GPUs. So I think AMD in the next 3 or 4 years is going to take a noticeable amount of Intel market share.
On a short-term basis, I've just noticed the 200-day moving average volume is 97 million shares a day. The 50-day volume is 69 million shares on average. And now today we did 46 million shares. So I don't know if it's important or not, but it does look like the shrinking violet as far as volume is concerned. Larry, you got a view on AMD you want to share with us?
Well, the charts look pretty good. I mean, it's had a great run. So I see really good support right here at 25. And it's starting to build support here at the 27 level, which is a 618 retracement. So right now would not be doing anything, but let it consolidate here and see if we get a kind of a push. It's not one that I really jump on and look at too much. So probably not one that I would be really doing it, because the price, volume, the price action is kind of a lower price kind of option. So I kind of like, better something like Nvidia or whatever to me is a better one to trade. But it looks okay support wise if it just holds right in here. 26 consolidates, you can probably get another push back towards that prior high, and you've got earnings coming up. So see, earnings are going to be around the end of April, so there's not a lot of time left in here, so probably not too much I'd be doing here because we're getting so close to earnings. But as we approach earnings, this probably get another little push into earnings, so that would be my two bits on that.
Yeah, as far as the earnings, it's next Wednesday, and with the market flirting with this 30 number, if the option premiums weren't too rich, would it be something to straddle up here or something off the 30 number, looking for either earnings next Wednesday to be a catalyst to break through, or it could be a buy the rumor, sell the fact if the earnings just come in so-so?
I think the IV crush on a straddle up there after announces is going to be brutal.
I wouldn't do a straddle into earnings. Yeah.
Okay. The IV crush is just going to be gnarly.
So you've got the 69.27 implied volatility, so you don't want to
too high.
You don't want to do that into an earnings.
Yeah. Right. If it were sitting, which rarely, names like this never will. But if you want to do that, if you're sitting in the, the 20s for your IV, then it's a much more practical idea. Yep.
All right. Well, we're on the number here, top of the hour. Before we check out, Brian and Larry, let's start out with Brian. Just wrap up again who you are and how people can get a hold of you, and if there's any special offers you want to give.
So we do this just to represent Alpha Shark, and I encourage people to check out our options trading blog to see how active we are. I put the link out there to be shared by the master of this endeavor. You can see how active we are. Last time I checked, we have over 400 pages of trading content there. And then you can click over to products there and browse through all of our different products there as well.
Great. It was great to have you here, Brian. A lot of valuable information. Hey, Larry, how can people get a hold of you? And do you have any special offers? And how can they reach you?
Yeah, well, just appreciate being here today. And I always enjoy this, analyzing trades. So just go to our site, PowerCycleTrading.com. Hopefully you can see it here. We always have something coming up live. So we've got an upcoming live event this next Saturday on earnings. So if you want to check that out, click there. Upcoming live events, you can sign up, join us for a free webinar. We'll be talking about earnings strategies. So that'll be this coming Saturday, April the 20th. Got a lot of great articles here on our site about you know, anything from pairs trading, butterflies, predicting stock prices, option premium, what is you know, short interest, just a lot of good content here for anybody new to advanced traders. So check us out. A lot of free ebooks, a lot of trading software. I've got over seven different software indicators that I've developed. Lots of courses, just a lot of good content. So check us out, powercycletrading.com.
Sounds great. Hey, you guys out there who are listening, there's a lot of information there you to take advantage of. And I think it makes sense to check it out. I'm Jim Kenny. It's been great being the moderator today. Thank you to Brian and thank you to Larry. Next time, I hope John Thomas can go over the technical difficulties. We'll get him back on here. I'm going to turn it over to David now. And again, thanks for tuning in, guys, and tune in next time as well. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Just a quick reminder, be sure to subscribe to Time Your Research on YouTube, favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive of this or any past shows. Be sure to join us for both shows next week. Neil Batho, Mark Sachs, AJ Brown, Jim Kenny, and Matt Buckley will be on for that one. And just want to thank my guests again for this show. Hopefully John Thomas will be able to join us again soon. And also Larry Gaines, powercycletrading.com, Brian Klindworth of alphashark.com, and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.